Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Players only. Apparently someone else got the memo because it's getting nice and warm in here. And that can only mean one thing. It's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Akumike, and I mentioned it's getting warm in here, Jhené, because we are delighted to have one of our dear friends joining us, Jordan Cornette, in studio with us.
Let's
here.
Go!
Back again, ready to shake it and sweat all over here.
I'm ready to sweat. I'm ready to dance. I'm aware it's not a Friday, so we'll temper that. The audience doesn't, on the radio, never has to see it, but those on TV definitely don't have to see it. But
don't
I'm
worry,
here
we have clips.
Oh, yeah. Clips of it. Say, we got receipts. Don't worry. And it feels like, Jhené, correct me if I'm wrong, as soon as Jordan walked in, it felt like Friday energy, right? Like, I immediately, like, knee-jerk reaction was to get up. Like, I felt my body start moving a little bit. I'm sweating a bit more. You got that, right?
No, not at all. I feel like as soon as Jordan walked in, you're trying to pay me off for what I did to you with Jess Mendoza being here. So you're like, you know what? That's cool. We double-teamed with the Stanford, but now you're trying to set me in formation.
Well, Notre Dame's in the house.
I was going to say, Notre Dame is in the house. Jordan Cornette, proud Notre Dame basketball alum. You can also catch him on The Huddle every weekend on ACC Network, as well as hosting Game Day from 1 to 5 Eastern on Sunday with his wife, Shea Pepler Cornette. And you guys still, you've been doing this radio show for a while now, still happily married at this point.
Still happily married. I'm happy. I hope she is. I mean, we have a lot of fun working together. But yeah, it's been a cool experience on our Sundays.
That I can say, that is a fair point. You're happy. We'll have to get her on at some point and make sure we take the temperature on the other side. Because we mentioned, Jhené and I are getting the work relationship up and off the ground here. So we are learning at your feet here on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys, I mean, this show has really taken off. It's been really fun. Great energy. I'm just happy you guys let me kind of jump in here as the rope's going at a really fast pace for a little bit of those jumps, man.
Well, you know what we say, Jordan, Monday through Thursday, we're working, and on Friday, we're twerking.
And so today,
that's the tagline right there.
That is. We're going to get the shirts made up eventually, so everyone be prepared. We're going to figure out how to make that happen. Yes. Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because we got a ton to get into today. Want to lean into some of what we saw in Game 2 of the World Series last night. One of the biggest takeaways that our own Jordan Cornette saw taking place not only on the field last night, but really over the course of this postseason, cementing a legacy. And it's not the one that you think. But before we get to that, the NFL has been moving fast and furious in the last couple days, guys. And the Baltimore Ravens have gone out and acquired defensive end Yannick Ngakoue from the Minnesota Vikings. They execute that trade. And now Yannick Ngakoue, a talented defensive end who made his way to Minnesota from Jacksonville with the Jaguars, as everyone seems to be leaving there now. And Jordan, I'd start with you on this. You see this move, a Ravens already a juggernaut on this team, and have to imagine they realize the only way they're going to beat the Chiefs is if they can cut off the head of the snake.
Absolutely. I think you look at the Chiefs, you also look within your own division. You look at the Steelers and understand, hey, the Steelers are back. You look at the Browns, and maybe they're a dangerous threat, potentially a playoff team. You saw the Steelers beat them. You say, hey, we got to continue to build on our strength. It's our guys up front. We lead the league in blitz rate. We like to get out to the quarterback. Baker Mayfield was so shook he was out of the game, and now people are calling for a new quarterback there in Cleveland because of what the Steelers up front were able to do. I love a franchise that says, we're a good team. We're a dangerous team. We can win the Super Bowl, but we can go further. We can still improve right now, and that's what you love to see. And Ngakoue now rejoining forces with a guy like Calais Campbell and the magic they had down there in Jacksonville, I love this because – yes, there are places where the Ravens can get better, but in this spot, they're saying, let's build on our strength and let's win there. And that's huge. And if you're a Vikings fan, you're sitting there saying, wow, we looked in the mirror. We're throwing this season away and we're moving forward.
I was going to say, I think that was the biggest takeaway I had on the other side is this is a bad team that realizes who they are and says, all right, we signed this guy to a one-year deal. We don't want to let him walk for nothing. So they get him back for a 2021 third-round pick and a 2022 conditional fifth-round pick.
The Ravens got this guy in shape, Jhené. And Mike, they got him in shape. After the Vikings got him there, he's in shape, but now they get him for half of what the Vikings got him from Jacksonville. What a win.
Not only in shape, he's had 5 sacks in 6 games. Yeah. Like, he's probably been that one bright spot for the Vikings because I put the Vikings in the bottom 5 through Kirk Cousins and what he was doing this past week. So now you've got a guy that now probably is excited to play because he's going to play with a playoff contender, a Super Bowl contender. And the way I look at this is it's really great because a lot of times now we get so caught up with the numbers and the analytics, and I guess we don't really err on the side of analytics because we're athletes, but you look at offense when it comes to the Ravens. That's been the huge talking point. Lamar Jackson, this is a guy that I drafted. I didn't draft him in my first round, but I drafted him on my fantasy football team. I'm super excited about his offense. That was a huge narrative going in, how he'll be able to improve passing the ball. But now I feel like this is a Baltimore Ravens team that sort of has taken a step back, getting back to what they do really well. And offensively, you know, we look at Lamar and we talk about him so much, but really it's the defense that is the bread and butter. They lead the NFL in fewest points allowed at 17.3 per game. This is where, honestly, and you look at their one loss versus the Chiefs, they weren't able to pressure Patrick Mahomes as much as they like. And now you have a guy that really is built to do that. So they're playing the long game, which actually is smarter because they're relying on their number one strength. Even though Lamar is super talented, their strength is really overall in their defense.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agumake, Jordan Cornett in with us here in studio. And Chinay, you're right. I think great teams tend to do that. Reinforce strengths because they have the luxury of doing so, because most everything looks good in the Baltimore Ravens picture, what used to be the New England Patriots picture. We just saw the Chiefs add Le'Veon Bell. But I want to add one wrinkle for you guys on the offensive side, because we know one of the big stories from yesterday was Antonio Brown.
Sure.
The talk that his suspension would be eligible to be up after week 8 of the NFL season, and the Seattle Seahawks were one of the teams out front. And Jeremy Fowler, our ESPN NFL reporter, was on earlier today and said this isn't going to be a large market necessarily for Antonio Brown's services, but there could be some interesting teams to look at.
I don't think it's going to be a huge market for him, but there will be a few contenders. And I was told from somebody close to Brown that, like, he doesn't want to go out like this. You know, he's been out of the game a year and a half. He wants to try to salvage whatever career he has left. And that probably means taking a discounted contract.
A discounted contract for a guy still in very prime football shape when it comes to the last time we've seen him on the field. Jordan, the Baltimore Ravens are a team who has Hollywood Brown, who is a cousin of Antonio Brown, Lamar Jackson, a quarterback who we saw working out with them this offseason, and an offense that isn't quite putting up the numbers that it did during his MVP season a year ago. When you look at this Ravens team, do you think it might be one built to withstand bringing Antonio Brown in for what he might offer?
Absolutely not. And I'd say that for every team. But as I look at a Ravens team, if it's not going smoothly offensively, Antonio Brown, even if he comes back great, he doesn't solve everything. So you're still going to have growing pains going on there. Is Antonio Brown shown the patience for something like that? I don't care if his cousin's on a team. I don't care who it is. There's no predictability to Antonio Brown. And everyone talks about it's got to be the right fit. What's the right fit? What is the right fit for Antonio Brown when we've seen how he behaves and it just, in a switch, it changes and he's gone off the reservation with how he's behaving? And I'm not saying that in jest. It could be something way more serious than that. I don't know. But what I know is when I've seen the behavior and the pattern that's laid out in front of us, it's dangerous and it's a risk to take. Even the upside, I don't think it's worth it.
You're right, Jordan, because if the right fit was football, then the answer would be really easy. Any team would want that luxury to have a guy like him. Every team could use that. I think it was 2 years ago he led the NFL in most touchdowns, right? So if the answer was, oh, it's a football situation, then cool. But it's not. It's a culture, a locker room type of situation. And you're looking at the Saints, who had some rumblings, you know, especially with my guy, Michael Thomas, because, you know, obviously I'm trying to get him back on the field as soon as possible on my team. You look at the Seahawks, they're riding high, 5-0, undefeated. Why would you want to jeopardize that? And you look at the Ravens, who have something good as well. Now, you're right. He has a family member there. And I am the number one advocate for playing with your sibling, okay? But still, the issue is not on the field. It's sort of off. And that's why this is more risk than reward.
You know what? I want to stick with the three teams that you just mentioned, the Saints, the Seahawks, and the Baltimore Ravens. Because coming up next, I think there's only one true no in that group. I think there's only one team that can't actually afford to bring Antonio Brown in. We'll tell you who that is next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We'll see what happens. That might be the understatement of the century. We'll see what happens in Game 3 of the World Series. A couple of big-timers going to be on the mound on Friday. We'll talk to our own Timmy Kirkjian in about 10 minutes. Chinay Ngola Jr. reminding you, be a part of Chinay Ngola Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. At Mike Golic Jr., at Chinay, at Jordan Cornette, who's with us in studio today, hanging out with us. You can catch him on the Huddle over on the ACC Network, game day on ESPN, Sundays 1 to 5 Eastern with his wife, Shay. And guys, we were talking about Antonio Brown, the prospect of him, the report the other day that his 8-game suspension was actually an 8-week suspension, eligible to return after week 8. At this point, although I want to play this for you guys first, Jeremy Fowler, our great ESPN NFL insider, was on earlier and talked about something else actually still waiting in the wings potentially that could keep Antonio Brown off the field.
Yeah, so that case is ongoing. I mean, it's the lawyer for Brittany Taylor has been dealing with Antonio Brown's people, and the case has been dragging on. They thought it would be basically over by now, but Antonio hadn't provided the proper documentation on his side of things, to make things clear of his intentions and his relationship with her in the past. So, you know, there's been difficulty pinning that case down. And so as a result, it's sort of wait and see on that. So that the league could add games based on what they find on that case. It could be in November. It could be after this season. So I think the way teams are proceeding is as if he will miss the 8 games, which are almost expiring, and then they'll go from there. I don't think they expect many additional games, but it is a wild card in this case.
So, Chinay, we brought up, and you brought up, 3 teams potentially that could be in the mix that might be fits for Antonio Brown. Certainly, we heard the Seattle Seahawks linked to him as well, but the New Orleans Saints in this, and the Baltimore Ravens, who just picked up Yannick Ngakoue today. Chinay, if you are any of these teams looking at Antonio Brown after what we just mentioned, is he someone on your radar to bring in?
It depends on how bad you want to win. If I'm the Seahawks, I probably will get cold feet just because you guys are in the position of power here. You see what they've been able, like even the last 2 weeks or last week in the NFC, Packers take a loss, Rams take a loss. I'm feeling okay with where I'm at. So yeah, I probably am cold on the Seahawks. I can see a reason why the Saints might take a look, especially with Michael Thomas, you know, him not playing much this season so far. The Ravens, I like the family factor. Like hopefully having a calming presence in the locker room and also an option where he could feel like he could really get some touches from Lamar. I'm not mad at that, but still, if I'm these teams that are still successful, I probably would just chill.
And Jordan, I think that's an interesting factor in this. Now, to be clear, you look at all 3 of those teams and in different places offensively, you could argue the Seahawks need him least with the weapons they've got on their offense. The Ravens, they've looked at their output this year and said, well, it's not quite as great as what we had last year when Lamar won the MVP right now. And New Orleans offensively has been dealing with a quarterback whose arm looks like it might be aging before our eyes. And you still look at any of those situations and say no go.
No, and it seems like the Seattle Seahawks are gaining the most momentum right now. All speculative, but from what I'm reading, that's what leads me to believe is the front runner. I just have a big issue with that. For what you guys, both of you mentioned, Chinay and you, Mike, is this is a team that's doing it. They're 5-0. They have the highest scoring offense in the NFL. To me, those are teams that got it good. If anything, you need to shore up your defense. Russell Wilson is going to put you in position. And I just don't look at any of these teams and say, okay, well, if you actually go back to Pittsburgh, there's a lot of guys that cape for AB. There was guys that said, but hold on, you don't know the real AB. He's great, and this is why. Oh, but that happened with the Raiders, right? Nope, didn't happen with the Raiders either when he embarrassed that franchise. There's nobody caping for AB. As former athletes, like all 3 of us are here, you usually go off benefit of the doubt from people that have shared a locker room with you. Where are those people with AB? Who's sitting here talking about AB? We just heard the sound, which I believe was from Jeremy Fowler there. We're talking about pending potential cases, not like a DUI, which is awful in its own right, sexual assault. With multiple women, I believe there's still pending cases that potentially may move forward with. That's the kind of guy you want to bring in when you're 5-0. You got Russell Wilson. Finally, he's going to get that MVP vote, most likely. This team may be on their way to doing really special things. You want to roll the dice with a guy like that? It makes no sense to me. It's not worth it. I know the upside. I'm aware. I don't look at it. I don't take the risk.
You know what, Jordan? I look at this and I say there's only one team in that bunch that for me would be an absolute no, because I understand all those things. Yeah. And again, I would have my own personal qualms about a guy like that coming into the locker room, knowing what he brings with. But from a football sense, I look at the Seahawks. They've had big personalities before. They've dealt with all of those in their locker rooms on a time before this current iteration of the team. And I think they can absorb it because it's low risk for them. They can let him go if they need to because they've got the guys right now. Baltimore, similar deal. We saw the way they had Earl Thomas there, a guy who behind the scenes had gotten to a point where once that practice fight happened, they sent him on his way, and they are no worse for the wear. The Saints are the one. I look at your wide receiver room. You just had to bench your best wide receiver because of an altercation and a dust-up in practice. That's the only hard no for me.
Oh, that's the hard no. New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans is the only hard no for me of that group of three. So we'll get back into plenty more of that later because I think New Orleans could benefit maybe the most, but I think that's the situation least inclined to be able to sustain this. But Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike, Jordan Cornett. Chinay, I got to ask you, the Dodgers, the series is evened up now. The Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays. I almost called them the Devil Rays again. Someone got me that in my head the other day.
They're lucky they're still Tampa.
The Rays evening up at one apiece in a bullpen game. Chinay, you getting nervous at all out there in Dodger country?
Yes.
Honesty. Respect.
I'm really nervous just because going up two games would have been huge. And I think this is more on the Rays and what they're able to do to see an early run go. That was a lot of relief. And then they started playing confident. And now I feel like we've really got a World Series. They responded as any team, great team. We're talking about the way that they're able to just rely on each other in numbers and not just glitz and glamour and the talent up top. Like, they responded the way you'd expect another top team. These are the top two teams in the MLB to respond. So yes, I'm nervous because I thought that, you know, the momentum would just sort of carry the Dodgers over based on the blast that they had in game one, but this is good. It's good for the sport.
It is, and it was good. We talked about game one, Clayton Kershaw going out there, having a great night, all the expectations lumped on him. But you got to feel good, Jordan, for a guy like Brandon Lowe who goes out there, and the slump he was in, 6-56 with 19 strikeouts this postseason, goes with two opposite field home runs, becomes the first player to do that in a World Series game. It has to feel incredible.
And I think it was Tim Kirkchin that I was listening to yesterday, who I know we're about to have on in the next segment. And I think it was him saying pregame yesterday, Brandon Lowe is my guy to pick to get going here. Batting 108 in the postseason coming into this one, he's going to turn the tide. And it goes back to what you're talking about with a guy like Clayton Kershaw. What it meant to the Dodgers to see a guy who, long before this postseason, had demons that he was trying to get off his back. Prove those, maybe he and the Dodgers are better off for moving forward. Brandon Lowe's back coming alive in the big way that it did. Window of opportunity. That's what the Rays saw yesterday with this bullpen game. You lose that one, then it's Walker Buehler, and then it's whoever else because the Dodgers have racks on racks with starting pitchers. You had to seize the moment with this opportunity behind Brandon Lowe, getting some juice, putting up some runs. Now you feel like, hey, we got some starters that can take the bump and do some things. Our bats are now coming alive. We can play with the juggernaut that is these Los Angeles Dodgers. That's juice. That changes the whole look of this series, no question.
That is truly remarkable. You know what? Coming up. Was last night a must-win for the Rays? We will talk to a very clairvoyant Tim Kirkchin, apparently next, on who he thinks is going to be the star of Game 3 going up on Friday. We'll get to that after this word from DraftKings. See, last week is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, what are you doing? Head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR. And for a limited time, new users are going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 7 action. Enter code CJR and get a free shot at millions in prizes with your first deposit. That's code CJR only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm not sure what is more impressive. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike, Jordan Cornett. Notre Dame basketball's very own, the ACC Network's very own, with us in studio here. I don't know what's more impressive, Blake Snell going four innings with nine strikeouts, or Jordan sitting in this warm studio in lovely dress clothes as he's going to get ready to go over to TV after this. Not a drop of sweat in sight.
Hello?
I am in awe.
Yeah, I appreciate you telling everybody why I'm dressed like a narc. Like, I appreciate it. Yeah. Like, I'm actually going to work. That's why I look like this with a button-up shirt tucked in. And you know what the secret is, I realize? The second button.
Ooh.
It's always a wild card. For those listening on the radio, they know. They get it if they wear button-ups. You go one button, you're fine, but you're still a little hot. You go two, it may look a little dangerous, but it does a world of wonder for you in terms of keeping you cool.
Second button, ventilation?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Big-time ventilation button
there. And no taco meat visible
no.
here?
No.
Listen, I don't think. I don't have a mirror.
Clean from my angle here. So you flawlessly executed the ventilation on the second button. So we probably won't ask Tim Kirchin that question, our ESPN MLB insider that joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gas. Shell Pennzoil Synthetics are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. But, Tim, I have to ask you, because Jordan brought this up earlier, were you the one that predicted that Brandon Lau was going to get out of this slump in Game 2 of the World Series and help lead the Rays back to a one-even draw here?
No, but we did interview him on Baseball Tonight yesterday, pregame, and I'm not sure he was real happy with the line of questioning about him being in such a bad slump. But he came out of it, and he went to the University of Maryland, which is where I went. And Carl Ravitch finished the interview by going, "Go Terps." So we're going to take credit for the two opposite field home runs that he hit last night. The only player ever to hit two opposite field home runs in one World Series game. He didn't hit an opposite field homer the entire season, and then he hits two in one game in the World Series. This is why baseball is the best game.
A little bit of history. Tim Kirchin, our own ESPN MLB analyst, on Chanan and Golic Jr. Now, let's stick with the Rays there with all that positive vibe and energy being able to bounce back. Getting on the board early really helps, but what was the key difference, Tim, in Game 2?
Well, when they score first, they're 32-7 this year. That's a pretty good start. And then Blake Snell was tremendous for the first four innings. Only Sandy Koufax, the only other pitcher in World Series history to allow no hits and have eight strikeouts through the first four innings of a game. That's how dominant Blake Snell was. But the way the game works today, the minute you lose it, and you lose it awfully fast in baseball as opposed to, say, other sports, they got him out of there, got that great bullpen in. So it was a combination of things. They hit two homers. 68% of their runs this postseason have come via the homer. They scored first. They got a really good start, at least for four innings, from a dominant starting pitcher, and then they turned it over to that bullpen, which every guy down there throws like 98 miles an hour. That's kind of the blueprint for how the Rays have won in the postseason, and it worked perfectly last night.
Yeah, Tim, you almost felt like once Snell got through the first inning, just the first inning as smoothly as he did, 1-2-3, you knew that maybe he was en route to do something special, albeit only four innings, 4 2/3, but dominant. As you look at this series, you talked about the blueprint for the Rays and how they do it with the home run or bust kind of scenario. The Dodgers, at times, too, the same. Do you expect, now, through what we've seen in two games, it's been kind of high scoring now, especially in the second game, do you envision that because now some big arms are coming back, those numbers go lower, or do you think it continues on a trend of being a high-scoring series?
I don't see it being a high-scoring series, but again, in today's day and age, no matter how good your stuff is, and everyone has great stuff in the game today, it's ridiculous how good our pitchers are. If you miss in the strike zone against our hitters today, you don't just give up a line drive to left field. You give up one 20 rows into the seats. So that's where the runs are coming from. But I don't see it being high scoring from here, especially in Game 3. Walker Buehler is pitching for the Dodgers. He throws 98-99 with a zoom action up in the strike zone with his heater. He has a great curveball, and he's facing Charlie Morton, who has a great cutter. He has a great curveball. And his last five starts in the postseason, he's 5-0 with a 0.67 ERA. And the last start, he threw 66 pitches, retired 14 guys in a row, didn't go to a three-ball count until the sixth inning. That should be a great pitching matchup. I would be very surprised if that was a high-scoring game in Game 3.
Tim Kirkjian with us, our ESPN MLB analyst on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line on Chené and Golic Jr. And Tim, as we look forward in the series, one of the big things I thought came out of last night and what turned out to be a bullpen game was that the Dodgers were able to hold off on using Julio Urias. How important is that going to be as we get later in this series for them to be able to have him out on the mound in Game 4?
Well, it's critical because he's been great this postseason. 16 innings, one earned run, and he saved them a couple times in this postseason, including pitching the final three innings of Game 7 against the Braves. So the fact that they can have all their guys lined up now really gives them an advantage, even though the Rays have all their guys lined up also. But if Urias is as good as he has shown in this postseason, this really puts the Dodgers in a good spot for Game 4. So if Buehler pitches a gem and they win three, and then they have Urias against probably a bullpen game for the Rays, you would think that would favor the Dodgers.
Awesome stuff as always, Timmy. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. See you.
Tim Kirkjian, our ESPN MLB analyst, with us here on Chené and Golic Jr.
It was Buster only.
It was Buster.
Just realized, that was my bad on that proclamation that Tim did that. Mike Golic Jr. ended up looking bad. It was me who told you that. It was Buster only. I got that one.
I'm looking forward to another one of your proclamations, Jordan.
It's going
to
be a good one.
I was going to say, you know what? I appreciate the accountability around here.
Come on. It's on me.
But we got your back.
But I come for the takes. And coming up next, are we crowning a new king in Major League Baseball right before our very eyes? Someone here thinks so. We'll tell you who next. It's Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Chené Agwumike, Jordan Cornette hanging out with us on a Thursday. And guys, we have news from the NFL announced heading into this weekend. Sunday's Buccaneers-Raiders game that was originally scheduled to be the 8:20 Sunday Night Football game on NBC is now going to be moved to the 4 o'clock window on Fox. Seahawks-Cardinals going to get flexed into that Sunday night spot. That group move comes out of, quote, an abundance of caution to ensure that the game would still be available for our fans on Sunday night. After we talked about the other day, the Oakland Raiders having to send home their There's a Las Vegas Raiders team that had to send home their entire starting offensive line after Trent Brown was put on the COVID-19 positive list there. So, Chené, big moves there, but we do get Seahawks-Cardinals now in primetime, a division game that maybe a couple years ago you couldn't have sold to people that now looks incredible with these quarterbacks.
That is true, but where are we? Week 7? Week 8? And we're looking at a potential where things are still being moved, and I feel like it's not probably going to end. So it just keeps reminding me, extend the season, use the runway.
Yeah, Jordan, where are you at on that? We've heard all about Week 18 and this idea of creating a little bit of flexibility around the NFL towards the end of the season. Are you surprised they haven't still gone with something along that model?
Yeah, I think because they don't want to seem like they're budging at all. That's the only thing, is it's a perception play, because let's be clear, Raymond James Stadium, where the Super Bowl will be held, they've got nothing else event-wise in there during the whole month of February. There is runway. You can easily take that thing from an early February event, push it to the end of February, and it's all good. They have the luxury of the runway. I think there's a hesitancy because they don't want everybody to think doom and gloom. And it doesn't provide that if you do decide to open up the runway, because everybody's expecting it. So it needs to happen, and they have the ability to do so.
They do have the ability to do so. I hope they do what seems to be the sensible thing in this process. But like you said, there can be some hard-headedness to this. The league said
NFL, no.
Yeah, no. I for one, am shocked in this situation. In a statement, the league said it still expects Buccaneers-Raiders to be played on Sunday. So that going to proceed going forward. You can book that. Let's book some other stuff and bring it back. Cliff. All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the box.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it. Feels good to have it back, guys. Book It. We've brought this one all the way from 4 to 6 a.m. You guys, for anyone that doesn't know how it works, for anyone listening, I am going to give Chené and Jordan a hot take, And if you feel like co-signing, you feel like this is the way to go, you're going to shout, book it. We play off on Sounder. Everyone feels great. You feel like Stephen A. Smith. This isn't quite the first Dex, but if you don't, you won't. And we move on. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, Chinee, Antonio Brown will not be on the Seahawks beginning at week 8. Are you going to book it?
I can't. Just because,
no, sir.
You know,
no.
You know, they are undefeated and they have good things going for them. They might get cold feet, and I can't rule it out yet. Not yet.
Not yet, but not ready to book it. Jordan, what about you? Antonio Brown not on the Seahawks starting in week 8. You going to book it?
You can't book it because it's either a hard no,
really?
Or if you're considering it, then that means it's probably going to happen. Once you delve into it, you dip your toes in the pool, and you're willing to swim in the waters with Antonio Brown, you're probably going to jump in and go full go with this thing. So I believe Seattle is doing their due diligence. I don't know what that looks like, but clearly they're going to move with this one.
Yeah, I'm not going to book it either. We heard from Jeremy Fowler earlier. The Seahawks had been doing their homework on Antonio Brown for a while on and off the field. And since we heard their name linked to them so quickly, I have a feeling this thing moves pretty quickly. All right, Chinee, the Eagles will win the NFC East. You going to book it?
Put it in the books!
This is tough.
They are currently 1-4-1 and play the Giants tonight on Thursday Night Football.
Look, I think you can book it.
Oh,
I think you can book it.
Book it.
Let's go.
Okay, I know they only have one win, but the NFC East is a combined 2-15-1 versus the field. And so if this is a team, you know, you're betting more so on Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz versus a Dallas team that is still trying to find their footing. And they played well last week, so I'm going to book it.
Jordan?
I'm absolutely booking this thing.
Put it in the books!
You're talking upside. That's what this is all about in the NFC East. It's about who can somehow manage to be the king of whatever you want to call them in this league, in this division. And when you look at it, it goes right to health. The Eagles can get healthy. Miles Sanders, Ertz, the offensive line. There are options where they can improve. Carson Wentz is still an entity that people believe in. His accuracy will improve. Hopefully he'll simplify things, make less questionable decisions. They value the football. But more importantly, they'll get healthy. Dallas is who we thought they were. Andy Dalton on prime time, that defense, ooh, no shot. Washington doesn't have a quarterback. New York has no weapons or a defense. Philly is the only team that you can look at and say, there's a potential there if they get healthy, and they can.
You can book it!
I'm not going to book this one. Call me crazy. There's just
damn
part of me that can't
that.
Quit all the potential on that Cowboy.
You've got to give us a team.
I'm going to say the Cowboys still have an outside chance on this one. Let's put it this way. I think that primetime loss was rock bottom. And I think going up, they've still loaded with talent at enough positions that can make up ground in a hurry. But it's going to take. There's going to be a firing. I have a feeling we're going to see someone on that coaching staff let go in the coming weeks. And then you guys know how this goes in the locker room. Everyone's on notice after that. Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio reminding you, hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Chinee, at Mike Golic Jr., at Jordan Cornette. All right, Jordan, I want to start with you.
Oh, you're going to me first on this one.
Mookie Betts is the best player in baseball. You going to book it?
I'm booking it.
You can book it!
And I'm saying it with my chest.
You can book it.
And people get uncomfortable about these conversations because we all know who Mike Trout is and has been to this game. Far and away the most superior baseball player. It's not even close. The guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He'll be talked about as one of the all-time greats. But some things are starting to shift here in a power struggle, and there's now legitimately a conversation as to who's the best. Because you can put Mookie Betts in the conversation. Okay, defensively, well, Mike Trout is a stud. You see the plays he makes? You see that arm? Well, the arm's declining. And how many gold gloves does Mike Trout have in center field? He doesn't have any. You know how many gold gloves that Mookie Betts has? Three. Four. Excuse me. Better defender, Mookie Betts. On a base pass, Mike Trout's not stealing bases like he used to. Mookie Betts is getting after it and impacting games on a base pass. And also in October, you talk about greats and what they do in the postseason. It's not just Mike's fault that the Angels aren't doing it, but this is the second World Series in 3 World Series that we're seeing Mookie Betts play a role. Where's doing in the postseason? And you got to talk about Mookie Betts and the difference maker he is.
Is he
time to
yet?
Talk about Mookie. Book it.
My
book
God.
It
Look, I'm here for this energy because if you book that, that means the Dodgers are likely to win.
There we go.
You can book it.
Booking that one. Listen,
Trout doesn't steal bases anymore. He's not even that guy on the base path like he used to be.
I'm willing to book it just because I know Mike Trout's not going to say anything to retaliate because that's just the kind of guy he is. We're going to try and fan the flames in the studio here, but coming up next, we'll get real great and put our hand in the dirt next.